Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it is Monday, I forget the particular date, the 8th of March, 2010, and this is the Q&A call for today. So to begin, we have a question here, which is, thanks for doing this, Rick. The Q&A has been very helpful for me. Whoever wrote that, this is anonymous. Thank you. I appreciate that. My wife and I have been doing an in-house separation, sleeping in separate rooms, each giving the other space for the past several months. It's been less than 2 months since her last contact with the affair partner, I think. Things have been really awkward between us since she hasn't decided to recommit to our marriage. She's extremely ambivalent, and her mind and mood seem to change drastically from one day to the next. I think she wants to have feelings for me again, but she feels nothing for me right now and is afraid those feelings will never return. We've had sex a couple of times in the last few months, but it's been awkward, uncommitted sex, not real intimate connection. She has a lot of resentments toward me for being controlling and disrespectful, judgmental for years, and she fears being trapped in an unhappy marriage. After I discovered her affair, I was convicted to tell her about my unfaithfulness, porn use, during our marriage. So I'm sure she's processing that too. She knows that I'm willing to tackle our issues, and I'm very hopeful for the recovery of our marriage. But I do think we both need space for healing and processing right now, and we shouldn't be pretending normal. Last week, she agreed to sublease an apartment in town for 5 months. She'll be moving out next week. I will stay at our house and might need to get a roommate to help pay the bills. I'm doing my best to be loving, patient, and supportive of her and not put any pressure on her, though it can be very frustrating and difficult for me at times. I realize this separation will put our relationship in a vulnerable spot, but I know she has to do what it takes to make up her mind and trust God's promises, and I'll be fine no matter what happens. Could you please talk about how to have a beneficial separation? What are the goals, and what goals and what the guides should be? Could you please talk about the return of feelings and desires in an ambivalent, unfaithful wife? Is there anything I can do other than being available, kind, patient, and extremely prayerful? What boundaries should I set, and how available should I be during our separation? Do we need to completely start over? Thank you. Okay, during the separation, I actually have a separation contract that I wrote that I highly recommend. I guess I wrote it so that would be why I recommend it. But regardless, it really operates from the perspective of 1 Corinthians 7, which I don't know where you come from a faith perspective, but it's much more about taking a season of fasting from the marriage. So it's more like a marital fast, and it's really for a period of prayer and self-examination. So I can have Aaron post that along with the answers to this or the recording for this week so that you'll be able to find it. She could probably email it to you directly since you've asked this question, but that would I think, give you both a very specific format to follow for the separation. There are two copies, one if you have kids, one if you don't, excuse me. So that's the first question. Second, could you please talk about the return of feelings of desires to an ambivalent, unfaithful wife? So before feelings return, one of the things that has to happen is she has to be willing or able to let go of the resentment she has towards you. And hopefully she's working with someone, but she needs to gain kind of a perspective, a new perspective of what the marriage was and who you are. And also she needs to be able to see that you've made a significant change. If and once she's forgiven or let go of those resentments, and kind of has her mind around it, and maybe even sees her part in it, then it's usually about 4 to 5, maybe 6 months before her feelings will return. But they do typically return if she'll be patient. At the same time, for her, she needs to be processing what was happening in the other relationship and how to let go of her relationship with her affair partner. And if she hasn't kind of, in her mind, began to reframe him and pull her heart back away from him, then it's going to make it much more difficult. So I would recommend that she get help in maybe looking and understanding what that relationship was and come to a place where she's able to terminate that so that she, her heart is free to come back the other way. What can you do in terms of being available, kind and patient, extremely prayerful? You know, I think being available for her to talk, one of the things I say is you can give for, to her, but you really can't take from her. It's okay to be available, but don't try to pursue her in any way. In fact, I would hold pretty firm boundaries and just say, you know, at this point, I'm going to be fine. You need to let her know you're going to be okay regardless of what she does. You don't want, and you don't want to be at a place where you need her. You want to be at a place where ultimately you can love her. So just let her know, I'm going to be fine regardless of what you do. I'll do my best to support you through this thing. But in the long run, you need to know I'm good. And, you know, whether you come back or not, I'm addressing my issues. And, you know, in the long, this is ultimately going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And then if she begins to kind of come towards you, in a very strange way, you need to keep that boundary and say, you know, right now our agreement is this length of time, so I don't know that you're really ready to be with me yet. And in that sense, try to hold the boundary. So we need to be very careful before we begin to try to press into things. Largely that's because for the female, the whole thing about desire is you need to let desire build up. There needs to be a pressure. It's almost like, you know, if you just kind of let the whole, if you satisfy desire all the time, if there's not a wanting that begins to build up, it never builds up pressure. So if you imagine taking a hose and crimping off the end of it, the pressure builds up in the hose so that, you know, there's kind of an abundance. But that abundance comes, of desire comes only through kind of denying the desire to begin with. So you don't want to satisfy the desire, you actually want to deny it. And I think kind of denying that will really help in the long run. I think you, in the separation, it will talk about specific dates that you need to get together to do things. But the rest of the time, try to stay apart and try to live to the schedule that you set up. There's a good book by Jim Talley called Reconcilable Differences. That is also a book that I recommend for couples during separation. And the two of you could read Reconcilable Differences and follow his program, I think, in terms of it gives you a nice structure of things to talk about during that five-month separation. So that would also be another thing I'd recommend in terms, and it gives you the boundaries. So that would be a really good program to follow during this separation time. Next, lost feelings of love. Rick completed 911, and we're working through Married for Life. I am a sex addict with multiple affairs, and I'm doing SAA and have been sober for 3.5 years. My wife still has trouble having feelings for me. She says that she cares for me, but no love feelings. I was her world, and she felt we had a marriage that others dreamt about. She feels since I'm an addict that she has to take the never again vow and can't allow herself the exposure to love me again. Other than proven behavior over time and continuing reassuring her, how do we get past this? If the feelings of love are different than she felt before, can you explain to us what these new feelings look like? We are going to try to be on the call. Thanks for all you do to right our wrongs. Okay, and this one is from Carl. You know, I think, Carl, on the situation, one of the hard things that she's taken that never again vow. I don't think you can take the never again vow. There's a part of us that feels like we need to be self-protective, and I understand why we would do that. And yet, part of love is a willingness to, I think, engage someone, even knowing full well that at some point they may end up being an incredible disappointment to us. They may wound us. In 911, in I believe it would have been week six, we talked a little bit about, week seven, excuse me, in forgiveness. I think I shared an example of the Trappist monk, and ultimately, you know, it was a willingness to forgive, knowing the other person may mess up, but in the long run, you have to see someone's heart. Only one person has ever gotten it right and not messed up. And I understand her fear of kind of opening herself up like that again. I think that it takes a lot of healing on her part to come to the place where she has a solid enough platform within herself to be able to do that. And I do understand her fear of the pain. So if she hasn't taken Harboring Hope, that might be one thing I'd recommend, just in terms of her own personal healing, which I think may help her figure out how to keep the focus not so much on what you do or what might happen. It's almost like we have to make this commitment to really daily kind of surrender our lives to God and see ultimately what he wants from us. One of the things Leslie says is there's one really good reason to stay and one really good reason to leave, and that's because God says so. If you feel, you know, that God is calling you to be in the relationship, then I would certainly, to do that and to not stay totally paralyzed by what may have happened in the past, the only way I know to do that is, you know, you're really working on your own spiritual walk, where it's really about a daily surrender and a focus for both of you on, as you've already learned in SAA, it's a focus of, you know, what is my inventory, and, you know, keeping my eyes fixed. As C.S. Lewis says, keeping one nostril keenly attuned to my own inner cesspool rather than looking at my mates. It's very much admitting and accepting the fact that I've got maybe my own defects of character and I'm focused continually on trying to get those healed. It's very much about looking at how I'm negatively impacting other people rather than how other people have negatively impacted me. It's figuring out how to do that every day. It's learning to pray only for the knowledge of his will in my life and the power to carry that out, and trying to shift my consciousness and allowing that wound for her and allowing that, you know, disease for you to be the thing that moves you more into weakness and more into, I think, maybe looking at things through a perspective or a lens of I can't do this, and having to walk more with God. I don't know of a better way to get through this thing than kind of having to work your own program. And if either of you looks and kind of does this because of the other person, that's probably not going to be sufficient. If she makes you and your recovery the ultimate goal, Carl, I don't know that you would ever be good enough. I mean, ultimately, only one person is ever good enough. So the goal has to be my desire to fully become the man that God wants me to be, her desire to fully become the woman, and that I want to make that pursuit regardless of you, and that ultimately, you know, all I want is to participate in that process with God. Because I think in the long run, learning to enjoy each other and making how we enjoy one another the goal, how we love one another the goal, that's, it's almost like you have to have a new goal to pursue for the relationship. And if she can kind of work program in the same way that you've worked program, which really is nothing more than if we can figure out how to continually surrender to God and let God do through us that which we're incapable of doing, that's the only way I know that ultimately it can happen. So hopefully that will help at least give you some ideas. Here's one. I've been married for 14 years. My husband just recently, accepted Christ, and soon after confession, a one-night stand My husband just accepted Christ, and soon after confession, a one-night stand with a woman in our hometown that happened very early in our marriage, about 12 to 13 years ago. We were married very young and were selfish and immature. Betrayal happened out of town at a party with lots of drinking. He was there drinking without me to escape all of the horrible fighting that we'd experienced early in our marriage. She approached him sexually, and he gave in. The next night, he was drinking again. They crossed paths, and she approached him sexually again, and he said they were kissing, and this horrible feeling came over him, and he figured it was guilt, and he stopped and said physically and emotionally he couldn't continue and left her. I guess the next day, he passed her on a road, stopped her, and told her that whatever this is, it's over, and he never spoke to her again. He decided not to confess back then because he knew I would divorce him, and he didn't want to lose me because of his stupid mistake. He's very repentant and will do anything to save our marriage. Before and especially after those few days, he's always been honest and faithful to me. What type of infidelity is this, and how do I deal with the hurt and anger and disappointment from something that happened so long ago? Well, in reality for you, it didn't happen long ago. In reality for you, it happened a very short period of time ago, whenever you heard. So that is the problem. It doesn't make any difference how long ago it is. The emotional impact to you is ultimately going to be the same. So that being said, what do you do? I'll tell you, in this sort of situation, you know, and if you can do something like the 911 course, maybe you're involved in it, but that is a great path for a couple to go through. It'd be a good path for you even all these years later, and I think it would give y'all some really good tools of processing through this. What he's got to be able to give you is almost an empathy and an ability to understand how this has impacted you. For you to feel safe with him, you need to know not only that he's had a good track record, but how he's had a good track record. The type of infidelity, this is called a one-night stand, and it happens typically when people are getting, they drink too much. It's really not who they are, but they put themselves in high-risk situations, and it doesn't, you know, change the fact as a one-night stand, and that would be called a Category 1. It doesn't change the fact that it happened, and it doesn't change the sense of betrayal. One of the larger problems you have probably, and I'm assuming, is the fact that he's kept a lie for so many years, and you just need to know that in the future, what's that plan going to be? 911 ultimately kind of talks to you about how you do relapse prevention. If you have trouble getting over your anger and your hurt, another thing that would be useful for you would be the Harboring Hope course and just being with other women to process, because ultimately he's not going to be able to give you he's the unfaithful spouse. He can listen to you and he can be safe for you to talk to and he can be understanding, but having other women who have gone through that you can talk to is going to be very useful. Again, you might get a mentor through the website. That can also be useful for you. Hopefully that will help a little bit. You know, and I guess with that last sentence, that's what I've been talking about, but how do I deal with the hurt, anger, and disappointment? You've just got to do the work. And like I said, 911 marriage would be a great choice for you guys, or Harboring Hope for you to get through that. And it just y'all have to talk about it, and he needs to understand that it's not a short time ago. I mean, it's a short time ago for you. It may have been a long time ago for for him, and he needs to understand your response would have been the same even back then. So he needs to give you time. I hope you'll do that. Here's one about sex. People get all tied up in knots over sex. It doesn't seem to matter whether you're the hurt spouse or the betrayer, if you're the male or the female. Sex just complicates everything so much more. Can you tell us why it might not be better to forget about it and to work on just dealing with everyday life? Might not be better work. Jesus seemed to do just fine without it, didn't he? great question. And I guess, you know, my answer is there's so much, or so many different dimensions of a relationship, and you bet, I think a couple can live together as roommates, and in that sense, maybe they could do fine and just forget about it and just kind of get along good together, but in the long run, I guess what would be sad to me in that situation is I don't know that they're fully they've kind of got a full relationship or a healthy marriage in that situation. And when we can sit there and learn how to be intimate at multiple levels. I mean, you know, one of the things we talk about is how infidelity is the keeping of secrets. Intimacy is the ability to be fully known and a willingness to fully know another person. It's about oneness. It's about learning to share my heart, my life, physically, my body. I mean, there are many different dimensions, my spirit and my soul. I want to learn to be one with another person. And healing from infidelity, in my sense, where there's been that breach, it's a shame if we just kind of end up living in fear, waiting for the next mine to go off. I mean, ultimately, the goal of recovery is to move beyond the infidelity into something much more fulfilling and whole, where we're able to love one another, to experience one another, to be one with one another. As I say, we live from that event, and it's the infidelity begins to be the event that propels us to the next dimension, to another level, where we learn what's truly important, where we learn to quit being so self-centered, where we learn to truly embrace and love another person. We don't want to live to the event where the rest of our life is spent trying to, you know, in fear of, or trying to prevent something else from happening again. At that point, the infidelity would be something that controlled us, not something that actually propelled us to something much more profound. And so it'd probably be easier maybe if we didn't have to deal with the sex. But, you know, the whole sexual issue, I suspect, was an issue long before the infidelity, and it's just a part of learning how to be real and learning how to be honest and learning how to be transparent and learning how to be one. So I would hope you wouldn't totally give up on it and that you would begin to do the work necessary to heal that aspect or to grow that aspect of your relationship into what it ultimately could be. So that's all the questions for the day, guys. Thank you very much for joining the call. It's interesting watching this because we got people from all over the blooming U.S. here on the call today, and I appreciate you guys joining us, and we will get online next week. Hope everybody has a good week. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.